Time for our daily coffee break. Gentlemen, nice to see you. Hi, Solbu. Way back there in the kitchen. I see P9 at the top left, Solbu top right, Peter bottom left, and B. Marshall, better known in the community as Marshman, in the bottom right. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Howdy.
I am, as you can see, at Studio E. Now, of course, I'm using this virtual background. Maybe I should switch to the actual shot just so... Could you imagine? Wouldn't that be nice? No, we're not able to do any construction around here, so it looks like that. It's a white wall.
You're in the production studio now, right? In the production and producers area?
Yep. This is where
what you've got now is where you're actually sitting. What you showed a minute ago was the background. Is that correct?
That was the joke.
I'm confused, man. I'm so confused.
This is reality.
Oh, okay.
Reality. Hello. And this, BP9, is dreaming.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Or maybe I should go more over here.
And there we go. Now we're talking.
That's better. Yeah.
You have to be running Windows. There's no way that you're doing that on Linux because the Linux client won't let you do that, will it?
BP9? Burn!
Are you doing that on Linux?
I'm in the producer studio, so here I am. And so I'm just on the webcam.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a mess in here because I've been tearing things apart. I got a couple of things for the rack. So there's the rack. You can see the shelf there with the MikroTik. Oh, and you guys can see how, like, so that's what it looks like when I
talk. And it has power and everything.
Yeah, and I see the sound meter doing its thing as well.
Yeah, and I got the power is kind of down there right now.
Yeah.
So I got a UPS with a red light, so I got to replace batteries, and so I shimmied the second UPS at the front there to give everything power just for the coffee break. Nice. So that's what we have. And then a Wyze cam is magnetically on there.
So you haven't popped any fuses or breakers. So presumably you're all good for tomorrow, right?
Yeah. But I did have a power flash today, which was, I think, because there's a wind storm outside.
Mm.
So that happened. And it was a bit of a wake-up call because that tripped the crummy old UPS. So that's why I had to shimmy over this big one. So I got to buy new batteries, but you know how it is. It's like the batteries themselves are pretty expensive. So
and that's
but
what it
was
I
enough.
To,
but the UPS was had enough juice to keep the power for the moment.
I'm going to hit you up via email or something, Robbie, because I want to talk to you about replacing those UPS batteries. I'm in the same boat. So.
Oh yes. Well, I'm fortunate, BP9, that. The place that I work at, I mentioned it before, but they refurbish the battery. Like, well, they don't refurbish the batteries. They buy in new batteries and then they replace the batteries in the UPSs. So, and that's a pretty common practice. So I think we actually have stock right now, which would be perfect because it's not a good time to try to get batteries across the border.
Yeah.
So I can actually take that in and get new batteries put in, but that, my 1500 volt amp is going to take 2 12-volt batteries, and each one of those retail for like $110. So when you start looking at that, then you start looking at like, oh well, Triplight has a $300 3U rack mount unit, you know, and so
1 ampere out of batteries, there, Robbie. 1 ampere out of batteries, you know.
I'm sorry, Peter?
What's the amp hour rating on those batteries? Do you know?
No, I don't know. That's not my department. I'll actually take it in and open a work order and then take it away fixed. That's how it works. But as I'm saying, it's like, it's such a tough thing because I'm like very much of the mindset where I'd rather fix stuff and rather keep things going. But when the cost to service it is almost as high as buying a nice rack mount unit, it's like you just start to think, and I know an APC is better than a trip light, but
right.
You start to think, is that maybe the route I should go? So, but Yeah, I'll make that decision in the next couple of days. The things I have to deal with. But yeah, each they're pretty universal, the batteries.
Okay. Well, what I think I'll do is do some research on the interwebs. And as I said in many, many episodes ago, I have a few UPSs that I just need to replace the battery in. The UPS is working just fine. If the battery was any good, then it'd be good, right?
How many amps are they, BP9?
I don't recall. I'd have to go look.
The smaller ones, like I've got a 1,000 volt amp that'll take one battery.
Yes.
But the 1,500 volt amp takes two. So
mine might be even smaller than that. Like 650.
Yeah,
rings a bell.
Just take one 12 volt battery.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're pretty easy to access. What I will tell you though, BP9, mm-hmm. and anyone who's considering replacing the batteries, and I did mention this on a previous coffee break, but I'll warn you. When you see the batteries are available, like a cheap version and an expensive version, I think I made the comparison to a high-yield ink cartridge for your printer.
Okay.
When it doesn't give you more power or anything, but what it does give you to get the better one is longer life as far as how long will that last in your UPS before you have to replace it. So a good battery, they say, will give you 3 years.
Yep.
Realistically, I could probably pull 5 years out of that.
Okay.
A cheap battery. I have put cheap batteries in my UPSs before as well. They're exactly the same voltage, exactly the same amperage, but mm-hmm. they're cheaper. Like they're mm-hmm. like $20 cheaper for the battery, and mm-hmm. they'll last a year, and then I've got to replace them. So it's just not worth it.
Mm. I remember last year when I was, or the year before when I needed to replace my UPS. I have an APC VA700, when I watched the website or the store that I use, I remember seeing that they had a. A 1U battery, a UPS unit. It was expensive.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to figure out. Is it worth buying a new battery, or should I just go ahead and just buy another UPS? I really hate to just go buy another UPS because they're stacking up like cords of wood.
That's the thing too. It will be cheaper, BP9, to buy just the battery. So it depends on how good the UPS is, because a lot of them, they sell them for like the cost of the battery. Like if you buy,
they're all APC units.
I think when to my UPS, a friend of mine came and dropped my UPS on the floor, and he cracked the case totally. They wrecked it. But the electronics was inside, was okay, so I took all the electronics out, and I got young Mervyn to build me a wooden case, and I was quite friendly with the garage people over the road who caused me interference, but I forgive them for that, and they gave me two new lorry batteries, 300 ampere hours, and I've had no problems with it at all. I don't know how long I've had it, probably a year, 2 years probably.
It's a good hack, but what did I learn when my SSD caught on fire? That I do not want to hack up cases and make them out of flammable material.
I've never seen an SSD catch fire before. It blew me away when I saw that on your video.
But Peter, that's my concern. A UPS generates a fair amount of heat internally.
There's fans on it as well. There's two lots of fans on it as well.
Probably. Yeah. Still, though, there's a reason that they build these things in a steel chassis.
This thing was plastic. I know you'll shut
it. It's just a plastic one? Yeah.
Yeah.
Volt ampage. Yeah. The lower volt amp ones will be plastic. The higher volt amps, they will put them in a metal chassis with fans.
It seemed to work anyway like that.
No, it would work. I get concerned about heat generating electronics within a flammable chassis. That's all.
Basically. But anyway, well, if it does, I'll get a metal one, but at the time, I didn't have the material to build it, so we got what we could find, you know. I made him build it because he broke it.
It's the material that he had at hand.
he got the great Anglo-Saxon work set at him as well.
Yeah. I see Ron Morissette has joined at the middle right. Hey, Ron. And Eric has joined us at the bottom. Hi, Ron. Eric, I notice your name today. I guess you've added your name to your window. So I've been spelling it with a C. I'm going to correct that on our website. So it's Eric with a K. Hi, Eric.
Yeah, he spelled it with a C up until now. So
yeah. Well, he'll learn as soon as he sees that I spelt it right today.
That's the European. That's the European spelling of Eric, isn't it?
Yeah,
with a K. Yeah.
Canadian is like. E-R-I-Q-E-E.
Scandinavian spelling.
Eric. That would be French-Canadian right there.
Where is the line, BP9?
That's a good point. Yeah, that is true. So, Robbie, I just wanted to say it's all your fault again.
Oh. Well,
everything is his fault.
I'm so used to hearing that, man. I've been married for many years.
Yeah. I have had the song from Phantom of the Opera stuck in my head for the last 3 days.
Sing and once
it's
again.
It's all your fault, man.
How strange
it. What's up? That earworm too. It's driving me nuts.
That's just been stuck in my head. Brilliant. Just love that. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
So.
Not a bad thing.
Thank you for that. I appreciate the pointer.
Stuck in your head these days.
You're right about that. That's very true. But thank you for that pointer. I very much appreciate that.
So. Wasn't that enjoyable?
Wow. Yeah, it was a real surprise at the end of the presentation that they brought on all the original cast members. Did you see all that?
I didn't. I made it 3/4 of the way through, but because on my screen at the office, because I was watching it while the live broadcast was taking place, I got about 3/4 of the way through before I got called away. So,
well, you missed the last 25 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Andrew Lloyd Webber came on the stage.
Wow.
And did a speech, and then he presented all of the previous. You know, the famous actors or players who had played in previous presentations.
Which we established is Kevin and Neil.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, right. Michael Crawford.
Yes.
Michael Crawford and Sarah Brightman were there.
Yeah, Sarah, yeah. I remember
and
her.
All the other various Phantoms were there as well. They all sung. As did Sarah Brightman. Oh yeah, it was amazing.
I missed that.
Yeah. You missed it. Yeah.
Oh sorry. Man,
you missed all
Here
that.
I thought I got the best of it.
Nope. It was fun to watch the presentation at the end. It was
unreal.
Yeah. I'm sorry you missed it, but it was excellent.
I can only hope that they're going to release that on Blu-ray or something like that, like some other method that I could purchase and rip it to my Plex server. That was just awesome. I love seeing it. Filmed properly.
Yes.
Like not just a camera in the audience.
Right. Along with credits and everything. So it was actually set up as one of the things that I remember from the presentation that I saw previously at live was, and I hope there are no spoilers here. I think everybody here knows enough about Phantom to know how it works. But
if you don't, we're doing live
present.
I've never seen it.
Okay.
Peter, we need to hook you up, buddy.
Well, yep.
I told him just a couple days ago, go see it.
Yep.
He didn't, and he still hasn't.
In the live presentation, I seem to remember the chandelier came down on guide wires at the beginning of the play, but that did not happen in the televised YouTube one.
They had like LED bulbs.
Yes, they
instead
did.
Of the chandelier bulbs. Yes, at Pantages, it was on some kind of a tracking system, so it actually came down. And it,
exactly. Exactly.
Pretty amazing.
They couldn't do it. I thought in the comments they couldn't do it at the Royal Albert Hall.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because of where the orchestra was and everything.
Okay. Well, that explains it. So what they had to do was to shroud it in a curtain, in a circular curtain, and then lift the curtain at the proper reveal time, which wasn't anywhere near as dramatic as as watching it live. So, yeah, it's that was I did miss that. I thought there's some differences here, but that's okay. I'll deal with that.
Let's just say it was more true to the original than the movie.
Well, I never saw the movie, the movie got really crappy reviews too, from what I saw.
The movie was special for me. Mm. Like, it was like, okay, they had filmed it, but as an operatic singer myself, and as somebody who's in love with old style Broadway, it was really sad that they hired actors who were not singers. They did a fair job. I mean, each of them did their level best to do their characters, but why do a musical with actors instead of singers?
Is that really how the movie turned out? They used actors that were not singers?
Correct.
Well, that's crazy. No wonder.
Yeah.
No wonder the reviews.
They did a great job. I mean, I got to give it to them. Like, they for being non-singers, they did great. And they used auto-tune, and they did everything else that they can do these days. But there wasn't the amazing, passion behind the vocals that you would expect from a performance that Andrew Lloyd Webber put together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I noticed that I am for those who don't know, I am a sound engineer, so I run the sound at concerts and church meetings, having a musical background like I have is a big advantage in order to help create a good experience for the listeners, so you know. Because then we know what to tone down and
A friend of mine from the airport, he's a sound engineer as well. He's responsible for the sound system on most of the IMAX theaters that you've probably seen. I think he built them, but he and I got into a discussion about MP3s at one point, and I play MP3s in my car. I just have them on a little player. Plug it into the USB port in the car, and I just play it in the car.
Nice.
And it is nice. And I know that MP3s are not the full sound reproduction that you would get from, for instance,
it's a
vinyl
lossy
record.
Format. It's a compressed format
that removes audio data. I am aware of that, but I don't mind that so much when I'm in the car because I'm already not in an ideal environment. It's not like I'm in a soundproof room where the acoustics are perfect and I can listen to the music. And that's what he got grumpy about. He said the problem is that everybody is just settling for a crappier version of the song.
Yeah.
I said, I know, but I'm already in an environment where it's not ideal for me to listen to this. So having the full hi-fi version of that song in the car be a benefit. So
yeah, that is one of the reasons that when I buy music, I always buy a physical copy. A CD.
Then you've always got a master to go back to.
And also, when I have a CD, I have an actual copy because when you buy a download, depending on which store you buy it, you don't always own the copy. Even if they give you these days, they give you a DRM free copy. The terms often say that you are licensed to play it, but you don't actually own it, and that's the difference between having a physical copy.
Yeah. I think truthfully, you're going to be hard pressed, even as an audiophile with a good audio rig, to hear audibly the difference between a 320 kilobit per second MP3 and a FLAC file. realistically, like at 320 kilobits per second at 44 or 48 kilohertz.
I did some testing 10, 15
certainly
years ago.
128, you're going to hear it. 128, yeah, you'll hear it. But
I did a test when I was in 2007. I decided to rip my CD collection onto disk. I remember I used a week and I did nothing but rip CDs. And before that, I have done some testing and I hear the difference between 128 kilobit and 196. But anything above 196, I don't hear any difference that I can hear. And so I'm me personally, I settled on 196 because of the lower file size.
Yeah,
you mean you don't hear any difference between the 196 kilohertz and the original source? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes. No. Oh, yeah. Okay. See, for me, like because data storage is so cheap these days, I opt for 320 just because that's the closest you can get to lossless while being compressed. But honestly, 192 kilobits per second, you're probably not going to notice a difference between that and maybe 256. But I think
so if you were
in
to
the
record
hi-hats and stuff like that, like you're going to hear that at 192. You're not going to hear that crystallization at 320.
So if you're trying to record or if you're trying to rip a CD at 320, is it kilohertz? Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, kilobits.
Kilobits. Okay.
Yeah, it'd be 44.1 kilohertz if it's a CD.
Okay. Okay. How close to original do you feel like you get then at 320?
I don't think I could audibly tell. I don't think I could tell. Even a 256 kilobit file, you're not going to be able to probably hear the difference.
Yeah, the only way you're going to do it is put it on a spectrum analyzer, put a sine wave in, a pure sine wave in, and then do the...
I'm not interested in getting to that level of detail. For me, I just need... I agree with you, Solbu and Robbie. If you can't hear the difference,
yeah,
then what's the point, right?
My wife and I, we bought a Dodge Caravan, Grand Caravan, and I noticed a USB port in the glove compartment. And I was like, what the heck is that? Maybe to charge your phone or whatever else. So just to test it, I threw a whole bunch of MP3 files from our Plex server onto a USB flash drive. And I plugged it into that, and sure enough, boom, up on the screen on the dashboard, it detects all the MP3s. So I'm sweet. So now we get in the car, and we just command the car, because it has this voice activation system, which is like a very rudimentary, like, play artist Charlie Puth, and that's all you can do.
I had the same experience.
Mine won't even do that.
It will grab the ID3 tags, and it will play whatever it finds with ID3 tags for Charlie Puth, and I love
mine,
it.
Mine won't even do that. Mine requires an iPod.
Okay.
Sorry. But if I just put a regular...
Oh, dude, I just e-wasted. I wish I knew. I just e-wasted an MP3 player that plugs into the lighter socket. And you just plug an SD card into the side of it, and it has like an on-screen display and everything. Yeah, but I was like, I actually said to my wife, "What can we do with this now? I can't sell it, I can't give it away because like everybody and everyone has some kind of device that has their music on it."
Yep.
So I e-wasted it.
It wouldn't have mattered anyway, Robbie.
There is also one thing about cars and USB BP9. And built-in USB support. My car, I have a Kia Ceed, and it came. It is a 2008 or 7 model, and it has a USB port in the in the console. The integrated software in the player. After I got the car and I tested and it worked, it took a week and then I decided that I'm going to replace the stereo unit because I have 13 gigs of MP3s on a USB drive, but all the artists are in their separate folders. But the player handled all the every folder as if it was just one single folder with everything in it. So all players, all songs with number one came after another, and then number two, and I couldn't live with that.
And the same thing happened to me when I tried. My car is a 2012 model year. I got it Christmas 2011 as a brand new car. But it's old enough that it did exactly the same soul boot. I tried just a regular USB stick. I tried an Android player, MP3 player. And I tried an iPod. And the iPod was the only thing that worked. Everything else, it did just as you described, Solbu. It just took every track. Didn't matter how it was organized or what the track names were.
Oh, man.
All the tracks number one were all the beat.
Seriously, the Grand Caravan.
How old is your caravan?
It's a 2014.
So it's more recent than my car.
Yeah, but it's like, it was just like I discovered this feature that was like a hidden feature of the car. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's awesome. And what I do is I take out that USB drive.
If you'd read the book, Robbie, you would have found it.
Yeah, if I read the manual, right? Yeah.
Who reads the manual, right?
I'll take that USB flash drive every season change, and like I'll wipe it, and then I'll throw all the Christmas music on it. And so for the entire Christmas season, we've got Christmas music on it. Then in the spring, we put on our summer driving music and all that, you know. Wow. So it's like, it's brilliant. It's wonderful.
Wow. I have all my songs on there, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't have that many songs.
We are nearing the end there, but one thing that I was yesterday we talked about the email client Evolution.
Yes,
and, Robbie, I didn't know if anyone still maintained it, and I found out, and it was too late to mention it because now we're finished. So. The last version of Evolution came 2nd of April, 2 weeks ago.
So fantastic.
They're still working on
it. So this tells me
when you say the last version, does that mean there's going to be more coming? So development's still active?
Yes.
The last commit was six days ago. The most recent version. So they're still developing it. That's fantastic. So
it still requires Ofono or the UI in front of it that's driving it. To make a call to the Evolution data service or whatever service.
I'm going to have to try it though.
It can be
I
out there, but
it front end because it is a GTK application that gives you like an Outlook clone. So
yes.
I'd like to find out if it's compatible with Mappy now. If it's if they've improved that. That'll be the deciding factor. I mean, they can update it all they want, but if it doesn't work with Mappy, it doesn't help me at all.
Yeah. On the Wikipedia page, they say that they also have an Evolution data server with only libraries that you can. The way I read it is that you can use only the Evolution libraries and use it in other your own projects. So
that might be what I have to end up doing in order to get what I need. But again, whatever I provide will just sit there unless someone calls it. So it doesn't matter. I mean, half a dozen of us could write, you know, half a dozen different applications, different services to sit there and provide all this data. It won't do diddly.
Yeah.
Well, gents, time flies, eh? Today, flying
that
by.
That did go fast.
I'm here at the studio because tomorrow I am live from Studio E, so I have a lot of prep to do. Looking forward to it. If you have supported us on Kickstarter, you'll be getting some notifications throughout the day. So make sure you watch for those because I've been vlogging. And I will see you for the coffee break again tomorrow. Take care, everybody. See ya.
Enjoyed it. Bye.
Bye. Bye.